Family is over the other side of the world, so it was just myself and my partner and all of our friends. And it was lovely, and it was hot.
Well, I can't imagine having a holiday season on a 35-degree Celsius climate.
It is hard to get used to, I've got to tell you, but I've done it now for years. It's just, you, how do you do a roast turkey when it's like 35? Oh, no.
That's
like
true.
You do seafood, you do hams, you do cold salads, you do everything cold. Otherwise, it's just you die.
Well, I'm glad you had a good time.
I had a lovely time. I trust you did.
I did too. Yes, I did too. I was home with my family, and my parents came in, and also my in-laws came in. So it was good.
Lovely.
Yeah, it was good.
Terrific. Now you're looking forward to seeing the rest of your family in Marrakech?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I do miss you all.
Well, we'll be there. We'll be there.
Excellent.
I see. Have you made the travel arrangements yet?
I have done my travel arrangements, yes. I will be arriving in Marrakesh on the 2nd, and then on the 3rd, I will be having a prep meeting for the CCWG on accountability, and then the meeting on the 4th.
Will you have any free time on the 3rd? Because Maureen and I will have a free day.
I think I will. I am not sure still at what time will the prep meeting will be scheduled, but I would say that yes, maybe the morning of the 3rd, it might as well be a free morning for me. So if you have plans and you don't mind me joining, that would be great.
Oh, we'd think that was terrific. And Ron, if you're around in America.
Yes, I would certainly love to go around Marrakesh with you.
Fantastic. This would be great. I was hoping to stay afterwards, but I've got sort of teaching commitments. I just couldn't stay any later, which is a big disappointment, but never mind.
Yeah, me too. I need to leave on the 11th as we finish. I need to get my plane back to Mexico because on the 15th we are going on holiday with the family, and if I don't get to the plane in time, that's gonna be very ugly.
Are you going anywhere? Where are you going?
We're going to Japan. I'm taking my family to Tokyo.
Fantastic.
So, yes, my wife is becoming 40 this year, so I thought that it would be a nice present for her to take her on a trip with her kids and her husband to celebrate her 40th birthday. And also my elder's daughter is becoming 15, so, you know, that's kind of a important date for girls here in Mexico, 15 years old. So I'm trying to, you know, kill two birds with one stone and celebrate both birthdays in Japan.
Well, that's terrific. So you're coming to this side of the world. Now, hopefully there'll be at least a couple of meetings where you'll have the joy of the people at 3 in the morning.
I will definitely be offline those days.
Join us. Fantastic. Who else is on the line? Sandra? Morning, Sandra. We're getting there. Actually, it's past time. Where is everyone?
Hi, this is Yishun speaking. We still currently have the ALEC subcommittee on outreach call going on, and we're expecting some participants from that call as well. So apologies for the delay.
Okay, all right.
Thank you.
Oh, okay. Now that's from Afrala, so that would be Ellen. But Cheryl should be here. Very naughty. Maureen should be on the phone. Olivier?
Both of them are on the other call.
On Afrala? Oh, at other calls, okay.
Oh, yep. Alex subcommittee on outreach call. I guess there is some kind of small delay. Most probably they will be joining in a couple of minutes.
Okay, well, we'll talk amongst ourselves. That's fair enough. So, Leon, how is accountability going? Are we close?
I'm sorry, Holly, what was that?
How is the accountability going?
Well, I think, or at least I hope it's doing well. You know, there are some issues still on an ongoing discussion that are a bit thorny.
Yeah.
But I think we're almost there. Hopefully, yes. I mean, we still need to get feedback from the GNSO and from the GAC. But my feeling is that most of their feedback will be supportive of the current proposal, and hopefully they will not be trying to modify anything substantially. So that would enable us to make some tweaks to incorporate the comments received in this third public comment period, and after that, just roll the ball back to the charging organizations to see if they are in a position to actually approve the final report.
Gee, then wouldn't it be amazing if we get there finally?
Well, that would be great.
Not before time, I might add.
We do have 20 minutes on the agenda on this subject later on.
Excellent. But since we're not in a meeting, we're just having a chat.
I'm just pointing it out.
I'm looking forward to it.
So yesterday we had snow falling in the mountains that surround Mexico City, which is a very rare event. I'm sorry?
It would be, isn't it? I don't think it's Mexico and snow.
Yes, I mean, yes, it's not something you get to see very often here in Mexico City.
Well, we had snow falling in Montreal, which is something we get to see very often.
Yes. Well, Leon,
Holly and I went from 39 degrees to 19 degrees in one day.
Oh, yep. 39 to 19. Oh, we did better than that. We went from plus 16 or something. Actually, from Christmas, before Christmas to the Christmas Day, we went from plus 16 to minus 13, I think.
Wow.
Should we brag that our storm at least killed someone?
Oh, well, if we're going to go into that kind of thing, sure, why not?
So half of Sydney has now no power. I mean, it really was an incredible storm, and it still is, in fact, some areas.
Enough of this frivolity.
I'm sorry, Alan. I just
we had a windstorm the other day, and a large part of the side of a 30-story apartment building fell off.
Wow. That is not a good look.
My
story.
Well, I don't remember if it was 30 or 27 or 33, but it was a tall building
regardless.
Of which the top, the sheathing on the top half is no longer there anymore.
not good.
Wow.
Not to the cars underneath it.
Okay, Sandra still has major audio issues, which is
Yes, she is.
She's not amused. Is she on a dial-out or...?
I don't know. I don't think so. She's not listed as a dial-out.
Okay.
Maybe she should be.
I'm not seeing staff. Oh, Heidi's there.
Can she not hear on the phone or not hear on Adobe Connect?
I think it's Adobe Connect because she's not listed as a dial-out participant. Maybe she should be.
Yeah, she's going to try dialing in by phone. She's just using the AC. And the AC's been really flaky in the last couple of days.
Yeah, some of us actually have the ability to dial our own calls.
Really? How does that work?
Well, it's an invention we have. Well, it'll get to the nether regions soon enough.
You leave my nether regions alone, thank you, Aaron.
Ooh, this is going to be a good call.
Oh, sorry, I should give you
fair warning before the recording started. I did a 1:00 to 3:30. AM CCWG meeting, and then I got up 2.5 hours later to listen to the feeblest GNSO meeting I have ever attended in my life.
Oh, really? That's disappointing.
So,
I was going to ask you how that went.
I'm not in great shape.
Is that?
Are you going to brief us on the GNSO? Just
I certainly will.
Right. Okay.
Why is it feeble? Is it bad chairmanship or?
I know you want me to hold the meeting before we start the meeting, but I refuse.
Right. Okay.
Do we have everyone here, and can we start? It's rather late already, and we have a rather full agenda.
Yes.
Hi,
Yesham
is going
speaking?
To be the. Hi. Go ahead, Yesham.
Oh, sorry for that, Heidi. Yes, I guess we can start because we're already 12 minutes passing the call start time. So, Peggy, could you please kindly start the recording? Thank you. Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening to everyone. Welcome to today's ALEC Leadership Team meeting call on Thursday, the 14th of January at 2000 UTC. On today's call, we have Ellen Greenberg, Sandra Hofreiter, Holly Rage, Leon Sanchez, Olivier Crepin-Leblanc, Maureen Hilliard, Cheryl Langmore, Ron Sherwood. And we have apologies from Julie Hammer. And staff, we have Heidi Aldrich, Sylvia Vivanco, Ariel Liang, and myself, Yeshim Nazar. If I could also please remind everyone to state their names when speaking for transcript purposes. So over to you, Ellen. Thank you.
Thank you very much. And what about Tijani? Is he expected and late, or is there an apology or something else?
Well, actually, he is expected, and they are trying to reach him out. But,
okay.
Still trying.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Okay. Is there – the agenda has been published for about 12 minutes now, so I presume you've all had a chance to look at it. The final version, anyway, has been updated as recently as that. Nothing really substantive, however, has changed in the last hour or two. Is there any additions or any other business you want to add? Seeing no hands, hearing no voices, we'll go on to the first item, which is the policy development process. And I'll turn it over to Ariel for that.
Thank you, Ellen. This is Sarah Leon for the record. It's mid-January already, but I still want to wish everybody a happy new year. So I'll just start my share my screen quickly, and I'll show you the public comment that the ALEC is drafting statements on. So far, we have statements in progress. We have three public comments that are in progress, and from top to bottom, the one on final report recommendations of the geographic region review working group is being drafted, and Tijani is leading the drafting of the ALEC statement with assistance from Jean-Jacques Subernard and Noreen, and that is due in April, so we still have plenty of time. And then the second one that's in progress is on the proposed implementation of GNSO 6, who is consensus policy requiring consistent labeling and display of RDDS, who is output for all GTLDs. And Alan has published his first draft, and it's currently soliciting comments internally from at large, and the internal commenting period will close on the 22nd of January. So I welcome all of you to review the draft statement and provide your input. And then the third one is on the registration data access protocol operational profile for GTLD registries and registrars. And the final statement just been posted, and now the ALEC is voting on that, and votes close on the 20th. So that's the three ones that are in progress, and one board that's at the bottom of this table is on the notice of preliminary determination to grant registrar data retention waiver request for CISO Technologies, Inc., Denmark. And Alan has followed up with Roberto, and he is going to draft the statement on behalf of the ALEC. Because this is not a regular public comment, so we're not really in a rush to produce that statement. And then there's only one that is the PDC. It's on the continuous data-driven analysis of root server system stability study plan. And Julie Hammer has been reviewing that public comment, and she hasn't got back to us about her review, so I will follow up with her with regard to that public comment. And now we have three public comments that the ALEC decided not to draft a statement on. They are listed in this table here, and I'm not going to elaborate. So that's all from me.
Thank you, Ariel. Correction on the on the one where you said Roberto will draft a statement. That is not a statement in regard to the specific waiver request. That is a statement that we're simply going to make as advice to the board.
Got it. Thank you, Alan.
Our practice has been we do not comment on the waiver request as such. I believe that is the practice in any case. The substance of that one, if you remember correctly, when this one was announced, Roberto got on saying this is a waste of time and silly, and I asked him to put that in nicer words. Okay, any other questions on policy issues? Then we will go very quickly on to the next item, the update on the CCWG. And let me try to give my version of it, and then Leon will tell you the real answer. Work is progressing nicely. There is a lot of work being done, and there's a lot of progress being made. The interactions with the board, to a large extent, have been exactly what we should have been doing all the way along, that is, recognizing that the board has to be made happy and figure out how we can enter into discussions and come up with a common ground which indeed will be acceptable to them. And to a large extent, this is working very well right now. There are changes being made to the proposal where, indeed, I think we're going to be coming into something which may well be acceptable. We'll talk about the groups that haven't spoken up yet as such, the GNSO and the GAC, in a moment. In terms of the ALEC issues, most of them are being addressed, and I think we'll be reasonably happy with where we are. The one that will not be addressed, it's quite clear, is the one on consumer trust. The amount of opposition to it is enormous. There has been a special purpose call on it, and yesterday we spent, I don't know, well over a half an hour, I would think, within the CCWG altogether. and it is quite clear that it will not be addressed. There is discussion at this point that the issue of consumer trust will be put into Workstream 2. From my perspective, that is a virtual guarantee that it will not be addressed, because that will require essentially a change to a fundamental bylaw, which is going to be controversial among some groups. There are significant parts of the community that do not believe ICANN should be involved in consumer trust at all, that it's a national consumer protection issue and not a trust issue. Cheryl had suggested that this could be added, recommended by the CCT review team. I'm dubious of that, to be honest, because their mandate is very, very much restricted to just the expansion of the GTLD space. And really, the concern that we have expressed is, what about the, I don't know how many million, 100 million domains that are within, you know, .net, .com, and the other TLDs that have been around for a while, not part of this expansion. I have a real worry that because there are people who believe consumer protection should not be a concern at all of ICANN, that it is theoretically possible, whether it would happen or not, I don't know, that the IRP could be used to essentially question whether compliance's mission, which is specifically focused on consumer trust, is indeed within the mission and within the bylaws of ICANN. So that's why I've been pushing hard on it, but there's no way at this point it's going to get into this version. I think that can be said with some authority. That's all I've got to say in general. As I said, overall, our concerns are being dealt with. They're being dealt with in public ways that I think will end up with most of our points being addressed, and probably all of the points that we have identified as really redline reports, redline issues. So from our perspective, I think things are going moderately well. The workload is exceedingly heavy. We do need to talk a little bit about the GNSO and their position, and I see Olivier has his hand up, so I'll turn it over to him, unless you want to talk about something else.
Thanks, Alan. It's Olivier speaking. I was going to defer to Leon first, because you said you were going to first give your points of view, then Leon, then I was going to myself.
Go ahead, then. Leon?
Thanks, Alan. This is Leon Sanchez. And I really have nothing to add to what you just said. You have provided a very accurate state of the work in the CCWG. And my only question is whether we are willing to die in a ditch, you know, on the consumer trust issue, or whether we are willing to let it go and see how it goes and works from two, and try to push for it to happen in version 2 if it actually goes that way.
Yeah,
so that would be my question.
Well, my answer to that is I think most people will not die in the ditch over it. How Garth Bruin reacts and what support he gets when the issue comes to light at the ALAC level is a different issue.
Okay. So the next comment that I would make is that, of course, the timeline has been defaced as per the original plan, and while we expect to have a revised timeline shortly, we are depending, of course, on the input from GNSO and the GAC to make an assessment on such input and present a reviewed timeline to the group for approval. And hopefully that will still enable us to get to Marrakesh with something that could be approved or voted at least, or at the latest in Marrakesh, so it can be then forwarded to the board and to the MPIA. But that's, of course, just my feeling. And it's highly dependable on which kind of input we receive from the GAC and the GNSO. My feeling is that the GNSO will be providing feedback that will be mostly supportive of the recommendations. And I don't anticipate something that would substantially change the third report on the CCWG, but I cannot say the same for the GAC. As you know, stress test 18 is something that's critical for them. There's been a lot of discussion around it and very little information, at least on my side, on how it's going on the inside of the GAC. So that is something that we, as coaches in the CCWG, definitely need to have a detailed look at. And depending on the kind of input that we get from the GAC, that could as well impact the final timeline or the next proposed timeline, or it might as well just be a good input or not substantial input from the GAC, and that would, of course, cause a lesser impact in the next timeline.
Thank you, Leon. Olivier, do you want to talk about the GNSO, or was your hand up to talk about other things?
Thanks, Alan. It's Olivier speaking. I was going to comment on the points that you've made.
Okay, go ahead.
And then I was going to defer to you to speak about the GNSO and comment on the points you make about the GNSO.
Okay. All right.
So on the points that you've made, it's Olivier speaking, on the points you've made, I've been following not the calls of the CCWG, but certainly the email discussion in the CCWG, and my understanding here is we have two different interpretations of the AOC. One side is primarily actually being consisting of registries, both country code registries and generic name registries. It appears to be pointing at the fact that the AOC only applies to or the points which deal with consumer trust in the affirmation of commitments only apply to new GTLDs and to the new GTLD program. Others are saying that this applies to all of ICANN. I know that tomorrow we have our own call and the IANA Issues Working Group. I sense we'll probably have much discussion there. But one question I wanted to ask, actually, was what was the actual AOC? Is the AOC the only contract between ICANN and the U.S. Department of Commerce at the moment? And is my understanding was that it replaced the MOU that was in place prior to the AOC.
In which case,
if that's correct, my understanding would then be that the AOC refers to all of ICANN, not just the new GTLD program. That's where we then have a major problem, because looking at the discussion on the mailing list, on the CCWG mailing list, people are really digging their heels in, and it's a red line issue for everyone. Finally, my own view on this, I have real concerns that we are now seeing, and we have seen ever since the beginning of this process, taking apart of ICANN's actual functions, turning ICANN into a purely technical organization that will render itself pretty much obsolete once we've finished with that process, which might well be the aim of some of the players there. And I'm very concerned about this. And finally, I totally agree with you that if this issue is sent to Workstream 2, that's it. It's the end. We've basically given up and it will be impossible to change anything as fundamental as this once the transition has taken place. Thank you.
Thank you, Olivier. One of the issues to note is it's not only the registries. Steve Del Banco in the business constituency, who is normally one of our supporters on issues like this, is adamant that they're not saying the AOC is only related to new GTLDs. They're saying the reference to consumer trust in 3C, paragraph 3C of the AOC is only referring to the expansion. And that, his support there makes it significantly harder to push the point any more than that. Cheryl, please.
Thanks, Alan. Cheryl Engdonor, for the record. You referred to my belief that we can, in fact, pick this up probably most effectively in a future review team, and you mentioned your concern that the current Consumer Choice and Trust review team may not be in a position to do that because of its specific focus on GTLDs. And in fact, I agree with you on that. I think the specific process that focus on GTLDs may make that difficult, but it will not make it difficult for a future accountability transparency review team to do so, and that's going to be the next cab off the rank. So I am normally a relatively concern about risk person, but I still maintain that it is not necessarily a total harbinger of doom if it goes into Workstream 2, and should it fail, as many of you are concerned, in Workstream 2 to get a Guernsey to be modified, to modify the fundamental bylaw, two things are probable in my view. Should the most hopefully unlikely but nevertheless theoretically possible IRP come in that was to challenge the role of compliance, that would be a strong motivator to find another way around this problem, because nothing will shake up an organisation to action quicker other than to have one of its primary organs attacked, and that would be a good way of motivating a whole lot of people to be supportive of change, I would suspect, as much as anything else. And you could find another way of getting it into a bylaw, not necessarily a fundamental one, and that will work just as well. But the other thing is, I don't necessarily think that a future review team couldn't put it in. I think it could do. We are not going to, in my view, we should not die on a ditch over this. And most importantly, and I think this is something that the leadership team needs to know, out of our last CCWG call on this matter, we are actually asking the author of, or one of the authors of the AOC, is it a chapeau only referring to, out of Section 3, the particular review teams in point in Section 9 or not? And so we won't have to guess what was meant. We will be told what was meant, and that should also help us somewhat as well. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you. That's assuming we get a specific answer. It is possible that they'll say, once the words are written, they stand on their own. So we don't know quite how that will be. There's an echo. Does anyone know where it's coming from? No? Okay. One of the problems, this is really annoying, if staff could look into it, please. One of the problems with defending the position that we have taken is the actual wording in the AOC is promote competition, consumer trust, and consumer choice in the DNS marketplace. That could imply not only GTLDs but CCTLDs, and could probably imply a much wider overall scope than even ICANN has. So the wording there was particularly poorly chosen, since we really don't have any, ICANN doesn't have any input into most of those things in the CCTLD space, and therefore that makes it rather hard to defend. And at least some of the people who are against trying to incorporate these words, and by the way, the DNS marketplace was not in the Article 1 bylaw change that was removed after the first proposal, but it is the words in the AOC. And at least some of the people who are adamantly against doing an incorporation of the words right now are because the term DNS marketplace is such a wide-ranging thing where clearly much of it is out of scope for ICANN. And that makes the whole thing rather inappropriate. anyway, that's where we stand on that one. Holly, go ahead.
Just a couple of comments. First of all, I would have thought that some of the things that Spidey said, and I don't remember the exact wording, but going through the letter, when he tried to defend in the context of a Garth issue, ought to be at least part of a case we can make. And I would actually turn your argument around saying, in the DNS market, all we're talking about is promotion, which means we don't have a total role, but we should have a role. So why can't we not turn the argument that's being used against us for, I think, you know, seriously, I'm, if we have a role, which I think we do, then why don't we say we have a role, not the only role, but we have a role. Thank you.
My only response to that, Holly, is trust me, all of these arguments have been used.
Good. Thank you.
Olivier.
Thanks very much, Alan. Olivier Capanello speaking. Wasn't there a definition of what the DNS marketplace was at some point in ICANN's history, or at least in the way that this has been done? I certainly think that the Consumer Trust Working Group has come up with a number of definitions which are not applicable only to the new GTLD process, but certainly applicable to general things in ICANN. I would be very disappointed if the work of the Consumer Trust definitions would only apply to new GTLDs, because at that point what we're talking about is having GTLDs that have radically different rules and are seen in radically different ways within ICANN. And that, to me, is already a consumer trust issue at that point, if legacy TLDs are completely different from the other TLDs out there. The other concern is if we now take the consumer trust thing out of the equation, then we can pretty much put a cross on anything to do with PICs, public interest commitments. And that just goes even further down the road of how we don't want ICANN to turn out to be. So I'm very concerned about this.
Olivier, I don't have that level of concern on that issue. We have PICs right now without the words consumer trust in the bylaws. You know, we didn't need them to get this far. So it's not clear. Now, as Cheryl said, if anyone ever, you know, tries to claim that not only is it not something that should be in the bylaws, but it's something we shouldn't be thinking about, that would be a rather interesting turn of events and would change, would I think, motivate parts of the community to do something. I'm going to be very blunt here. I've spent a significant amount of my political capital on pushing this issue against virtually everyone. And it's not going to change right now in this in the coming version. I cannot see it changing. I'd be glad if Cheryl or Olivia or Leon or anyone else who's involved in the process tells me I may be wrong. But at this point, it's dead. I'd put money on that at this point. It's not likely to be revived again in Workstream 1. So we can keep on talking about it, but I really think it's something we have to move on for and decide ultimately if we do not support the report because of it, but that's a different issue. Olivia, your hand is not up. Can we go on to the GNSO? Then I'll give my brief report. There was a 2-hour GNSO meeting scheduled this morning, my time, starting 3 hours after the ending of the CCWG meeting, which ended at 4 a.m. or close to 4 a.m. my time, and I dutifully got up to listen to it. They spent the first hour with various people talking about essentially why are they meeting today and what are we supposed to be doing, and a fair amount of the discussion on really core issues of transition and accountability and why are we doing this and how does and you know and does the CCWG understand that GNSO is diverse? I do not understand. They did not seem to do any of the prep that I thought would have been done in to make this meeting an effective meeting, even though there was a working group of knowledgeable, good people who did a lot of work ahead of time, but it seemed to have gone for naught. It's also one of the first meetings that James Bladel has chaired, and I think he let the speaker queue take over the meeting. So, in any case, round about halfway through the meeting, they actually started discussing some substance, and they did basically go through all the recommendations, or most of them. A letter will be written. They decided not to do any voting at this point, but just simply write a letter, which is roughly what the CCNSO did. That letter will be drafted by James. It will be discussed on the list. It's not clear how quickly that letter will be sent. I would think, given the GNSO, it's likely to take at least a week or possibly longer. And all that will come out of it is a very brief summary of the positions that the various constituents and stakeholders have already taken. There will be a strong statement against stress test 18 wording. There are people in the GNSO who will die in the ditch over the two-thirds majority change because, for a whole bunch of reasons I don't think we need to go into right now. And then there are the standard positions that other people have taken. There was no real attempt to assess during the meeting whether, if the GNSO were to vote on each recommendation by recommendation, how many of them would actually pass and how many would not. And then, of course, you have the problem that there are people who, within the GNSO voting scheme, that would vote against a particular recommendation, but perhaps for a different reason than the person sitting beside them. So two different constituencies or stakeholder groups may vote against something, but for completely different reasons. So the vote itself does not fully characterize what the issues are. Anyway, that's where it stands. It was not a meeting in retrospect that was worth getting up for. But so be it. That's where we are right now. And I open the floor. Olivier, go ahead.
Yeah, thanks very much, Alan. Olivier Kefana Blanc speaking. And I was traveling at the time when the call took place, and I have pretty much the same conclusions as you. The process by which the GNSO arrived there was that they effectively are having the discussions that we've had in the ALAC in December or before the holiday period. And unfortunately, due to them spending a lot of time on other issues prior to the holiday period, they put together a small team of people throughout the holiday period who worked on this. And it didn't come out too well. I think a lot of people came to that call today without much knowledge of this.
Well, yes, I think there are two things. Number one, a fair number of people came with any real knowledge of this overall process. They have not been following it at all and really did not seem to understand. At one point, there was a discussion of should they have a vote on whether there should be a transition or not. And someone pointed out that, indeed, hold on a second. Sorry, I've got someone at the door.
Hello.
Yeah. Okay. And someone pointed out that we're not having a vote on should there be a transition. There is an implied vote on should there be a transition based on the fact that if accountability does not go forward, and if the GNSO is the reason that accountability does not go forward, then in fact they have nixed the transition. But it's an indirect set of circumstances.
So, Olivier speaking, if I can just add to this then. My understanding or my reading of the situation in the GNSO is that on the one hand, we do have a very inexperienced GNSO council at the moment, because this is really the first big issue that has now come on their table. And as you might be aware, quite a few people have been replaced on this occasion. And of course, the GNSO started its work late. Sorry, the council started its work late because of the difficulty they had to elect someone to chair them. So that's the first problem. The other problem, I think, is we are seeing some of the old skeletons, if you want, coming out of the closet. I've certainly read on the list also the strain between the different stakeholder groups and the constituencies and the council. If I can remind you that some constituencies are saying, well, you know, we're independent and we are not bound by anything the GNSO council says. It really starts going back into these things. And I have also noticed that you do have some of the people that have had very strong positions in the accountability working group who also happen to be councillors, and who have an equally strong heels dug in attitude to the discussions they're having in the GNSO. So we have now a number of recommendations made by the CCWG which are not getting consensus on the GNSO, and with a request from many of those constituencies asking for their minority opinion to be included in the GNSO's response. Admittedly, and unfortunately, this comes at a rather late time. It would have probably been better if that had come in over in December, and then there would have been a bit more time to discuss things in the CCWG, but we're now at sort of very late on this, and I don't see anyone, and I was hoping that some people would come to the council call today to actually say, right, let's work something out together, and all it was just a repeat of what their positions were, and certainly no step forward to bridge the gap. I really don't know how they will do this. They might approve a subset with consensus. One of the things, of course, is this issue that we're looking at here with the public consumer trust, but there are others as well. There is one issue which is interesting in that they're asking for fact that the headquarters of ICANN should remain in the United States to be part of the bylaws. And I don't know how the CCWG has dealt with this or whether that's been raised on the CCWG, but they seem to be very adamant that needs to be in there. And so it's this interesting moment that we're living at the moment, and I don't quite know how James is going to be able to work this one out. Thank you.
Thank you. Yes, interesting is indeed the right word, and I don't think we can fix it. That little part of the discussion on where ICANN is headquartered or where the corporation resides was a complete red herring from the point of view of the current discussion, but you know, once it's raised, they had to deal with it. We're way over time at this point, and I have one more issue on accountability I want to briefly raise. So if we may go on, and if that's okay with everyone. As you know, one of the things we objected to in our comment was lowering the threshold for removing the board in case not all groups were active, not all five people or ACSOs voted one way or another. And that's been fixed. It's generally accepted that the only one they're going to lower at this point is the fundamental bylaw, which indeed was something we supported. So I think we're good to go. And that's a good example of the kinds of changes that we are talking about here. As I was going over the document in preparation for the meeting, I suddenly had a doomsday scenario come upon me. And the issue is, with the change, it only requires three ACs or SOs to approve a fundamental bylaw change, or likely they will also be the articles of incorporation will be subject to that same rule. What if we're some point in the future in a position where several of the ACs and SOs are really not in a position to make to do anything? They are close to defunct. They are dysfunctional, and to be honest, the first hour of the GNSO meeting it suddenly rang bells of a group that simply cannot make a decision. But in a real doomsday scenario, if ICANN is falling apart for one reason or another, we are in a position where the bylaws and articles of incorporation cannot be changed without positive approval from three groups. If there are no longer three groups that are functioning and meeting, the organization cannot change. The board of directors cannot fix the problem because the requirement to have three supporting is an absolute requirement. There is no escape hatch. And it dawned on me that there really needs to be. If, for instance, a community forum is called and no one shows up, what happens? It's not clear. ICANN is essentially unable to fix any structural problems if the structural problems are associated with the ACs and SOs. And the reaction that people gave overall is can't happen. Can't imagine the CCNSO or JNSO not being able to make a decision. And in a doomsday scenario, you don't say what the chances are. You say, how do we get out of it? And if you never have to exercise that provision, so be it. So I raised the issue. It probably will not be dealt with. And I'm just wondering if this resonates with anyone else here. And I particularly, Cheryl was on the call, and I'm curious, did I not present it well, or is indeed no one cares?
Alan, Cheryl, for the record, you presented it very, very well. I was actually thinking we might have to get an intervention worked out for you because I was concerned for your psychology, actually. I think we need to get Alan out of here before it becomes personally dangerous for him. No, that is only partly joking. For the record, you presented it perfectly well, perfectly validly, but... doomsday scenarios are the extreme edge of stress testing. I don't believe we're going to put the time, the energy, nor do we have the inclination to do it as part of the exercise at this stage. However, my personal reaction was, oh, honey, if we are in such a bad state, who gives a shit? Yes, and I suspect I wasn't alone. I just didn't say it. I controlled myself because I'm trying to be a good rapporteur and leader. And who gives a shit does not give the right message. But seriously, Alan, if the SOs and ACs are so dysfunctional, then, boy, I think most of the rats will have left the ship from all sorts of spaces, and ICANN will be gone anyway.
Okay.
So it really is.
It just dawned on me that we shouldn't have bylaws which effectively cannot be changed.
Understood.
Which is the scenario that we are building. So.
Alan, if I may, Cheryl, for the record, there is another possibility, and particularly since you did raise it, and I thought quite eloquently and well. When we move into implementation, another thing happens when you have highly paid and therefore of great reputation legal advice. Leon? I'm not picking on your species, all right? Just make that clear. You switch from the, here is the advice you wish us to give you, to, here are the delimiters because we are not going to not tell you, anything that could come back and bite us at a future point in time. So we are now not necessarily at the end of legal advice coming in whilst implementation goes on to say, oh, and of course, I'm sorry, we need to do this differently because, I mean, Leon, tell me I'm wrong, but, you know,
you're saying no lawyer is going to put, it's like an architect signing off on a design where the bridge will fall down, or a structural engineer. I understand.
They're going to tell you every risk possible. So.
Okay. Anyway, I didn't really want to debate. I just wanted to raise it. It's one of these things that just came to me, and it may be due to lack of sleep, but it suddenly dawned on me that we have never discussed the issue, and that seemed to be inappropriate, so I raised the issue. I really wasn't about to have a heart attack over it, but I really thought that the idea must be introduced. Now, Thomas, unfortunately, then pressed me for what is a possible solution to it, and I came up with something out of thin air, at which point Jordan said, you know, I don't like that alternative, that solution. And, you know, that wasn't what I was trying to say. I wasn't trying to propose a solution. I was simply trying to make sure that the group was aware of the potential problem. And I did that, and at this point I'm done. I'm certainly not going to raise it again, and we'll see where it goes. May we move on? We are a good half hour over at this point, or close to it. Next item is finance and budget. And Heidi's name is leading on this, even though that isn't the way she typed it in. Heidi, over to you.
Thank you. And Sandra is here as well, so I'm going to ask her to talk a little bit about the one that the Academy, the Cross Community Committee on the ICANN Academy is developing. But bringing us back to the ALAC, I've developed a few proposals. The first one is, again, for the development session. So two questions on that one. As you all know, this will be at Meeting C. Meeting C goes to Friday officially. The Meeting Strategy Working Party has scheduled that development session for that Friday. So the question is, do you wish to stick with that, or do you wish to put in the request that you would like that on Saturday? Not that you're going to get that, but just do you wish to do that? And that's one issue. The other issue is currently it requests the participation of the incoming ALAC, the liaisons, CCNSO, GNSO, and ESSAC, and a facilitator. Doesn't include are people like experts, like the Cheryls and the Olivier's, et cetera. I mean, Olivier's GNSO liaison, but it does not include travel and participation of experts like Cheryl.
If I may give you my analysis of your question, we have several choices. We either say the development session is on Friday and take the regional leaders and say you're on vacation for the day. Enjoy. It's a nice place we're in. Or we widen the session to be, by the way, and outgoing people. Outgoing people and regional leaders, enjoy your day off. ICANN's giving you a free day. Or we can include all of these people in the session, increasing the size by probably 60 to 70%, and not focusing on the coming year, but focusing on whatever their interests are. Or we can say, if this is a truly development session, then it is not done within the ICANN week. Now, for those of you who aren't aware, there was an interesting happening in the CCWG the other day. The CCWG had requested that the Friday before ICANN be a full-day working session for the CCWG. ICANN came back and said, no, we're using the new strategy. It does not fit. The new strategy said you are not allowed to do anything outside of the window. There was a revolt, a strong revolt, and the general message was, that's the ICANN meeting. This is not the ICANN meeting. This is something else. And it doesn't fall within the purview of the ICANN meeting, and if we want to meet on Friday, we need to meet on Friday. Sebastian, who chaired the new meeting strategy group, got up and said, that's not what we intended the strategy for. The strategy is how to run ICANN meetings, regular ICANN meetings with all the 2,500 attendees. Anything special like this is not necessarily to be done within the window. And, you know, then added that if he had been involved in the implementation, he would have made that clear. From my perspective, the development session is also outside of the ICANN meeting window. It's for targeted at a very small number of people, not the 2,500 attendees, and therefore is quite reasonable to hold it on a day after. The question I have for this group, however, is that would make the eighth day running, ninth if anything is done beforehand. Is that too much to ask of people? I open the floor. Heidi.
Yes. So I just wanted to remind everyone that when we announced the development session in Dublin, and admittedly we may have officially announced it too late, for those who were not paying too close of attention, but we did get a lot of pushback from some ALAC members saying, you know, 8 days or 8 hours, you know, at the end of an ICANN meeting, you know, ridiculous. You know, et cetera. So that's something to keep in mind as well.
Yeah, and that was only the seventh day, not the eighth day.
Yeah, no, sorry, I meant 8 hours. I didn't mean 8 days.
It was the seventh day. I'm just
correct. Yeah, and now this is going to be, so now meeting C will be running from Saturday to Friday, plus, you know, that extra 1 day. So that's something to keep in mind.
All right, I'd like to hear from the ALT. Nobody has any thoughts.
Sorry, could you...
Yeah, Leon says in the seventh day, thou shalt rest. meeting strategy has already said that you can't rest on the seventh day. We're now on to the eighth day.
Because you're beyond gods, that's why.
Of course. Olivier, go ahead.
Thanks very much, Alan. Olivier Crépin-Ablon speaking. And may I just suggest that you're asking the wrong people, because by the very fact that we're in the ALT, we have no life outside ICANN meetings anyway. So make it 9, 10, 11, 15 days. That's fine with me.
Olivier, to be clear, I'm not asking the ALT if the ALT will attend. I'm saying, is this something we should be pushing for or not? We have to make a budget request soon, and if we are going to have a developmental session, it's going to be either outside the window, in the window including everyone, or in the window and other people take a vacation.
Well, I'd say you should ask the ALAC and the regional leaders and find out what their feedback is on this, because in there you do have varying levels of involvement, and it's specifically those people who are not able to spend so much time who are not on the ALT, and so you probably get a much better answer from them. I have no idea whether, you know, and I have heard, indeed, what you've said. I have heard some people saying, well, you know, this is all my holiday time that's gone, and my marriage is on the rocks because of this and this sort of stuff. So, anyway, back to you.
Sandra.
Hi, everybody. Can you hear me?
Yes.
It's Sandra speaking. Great. I was very skeptical, I must say, at the beginning, and I think it was very unfortunate to have a strategy session before the ICANN meeting and a development session after the ICANN meeting. But finally, I must say, it was a pilot program, it was a test drive, and I think it had some value in it. And I would actually go for at least for the development session during the C meeting when new people are taking on their seats, because I found if this is going to be organized very well, announced in advance, then we really could make a big value for the ALAC out of the session. For instance, including new people like Timothy and Kali, I think this was very valuable. And they could onboard much more easily and could get involved much quicker than people before. I mean, there were also other people who had to leave earlier and so on and so forth. I think this was just a matter of difficult organization, and as Heidi said, not all the people are following their emails so closely and so on and so forth. But I would go for, at least for the development session. I'm not quite sure about the strategy session we had before the ICANN meeting. This was, at least in at Dublin, this turned out to be a sort of a fight, and I'm not sure if this was the purpose of this session. But I would go for a request out of the normal ICANN meeting, so say, add an additional day for the development session to onboard the people at the ALAC much faster than we could do this in the past. I would have wished this would have been the case, or this would have been in place when I joined the ALAC in 2010. Thank you.
Okay. So you're saying even if it requires an eighth day, eighth contiguous day, that we should do it, that it has value and it should be outside the window. Because clearly putting 12 people on vacation for the day is not going to be acceptable in the ICANN context. And my personal position is that adding them to the development session, I think, will dilute the benefit of having that session. So the only alternative of the three scenarios, I think, is the eighth day. And we have one vote from Sandra saying yes, even though it's an awful long meeting, it's probably worthwhile. I tend to agree on that. Tijani.
Two others agree.
Thank you very much, Alan. Thank you very much, Alan. Tijani speaking. I think that for meeting three, we don't need to extend the stay of people in outside their home. It is very long. And I think that with a 7 days meeting, we may have time to make our development session inside the week. Perhaps at the end of the week, or perhaps, I don't know, we may find a slot that will be convenient for this kind of session. But I don't think it is appropriate to extend the stay of people outside their home in a meeting seat. Thank you.
Okay, but that the implication of doing it within the window is we have all the outgoing people, all the regional leaders who are not otherwise occupied at that point for that day. I don't see how we could sell that, to be quite blunt. So we have two different views. We have Sandra saying, yes, it is worth the extra time. Tijani saying, under no conditions. Okay. Anyone else want to get in? Heidi.
Yes. I'm going to come in with a hybrid approach, a little bit of a hybrid. Perhaps rather than Saturday, to reduce the development session by just a couple of hours, to have it perhaps between 12 and 1800 on that Friday afternoon to allow the outgoing people to either sightsee or to leave, so they'll be home by Saturday. That's another option.
And you think that would be acceptable to the powers that be in ICANN?
For Friday, yeah. I mean, Friday is currently scheduled for all day. So if you wanted to have
No. I'm saying giving the people the half day off is acceptable to ICANN.
Well, I mean, on Thursday, you already see everything being wrapped up. So maybe you don't see it because you're in meetings all day, but Thursday afternoon already people are heading off completely.
Okay. Requires more discussion. Obviously, we have different viewpoints on this.
Okay. May I continue?
You may.
Okay, coming back to the strategy session, as Sandra mentioned a little bit, what we have right now is a request for a strategy session on that first Saturday. Now, again, travel and that extra day are not being asked for. What is being asked for at this time is a facilitator. And that person could help, for example, with project management tools on how to prioritize issues, et cetera. And I think that by adding that kind of component it would, force us to think about it a little bit before, which we didn't really do this past time. We would need to plan the agenda much more. And then, B, what also happened is that because of CCWG meetings, some of the key people, i.e. Alan, I don't think were really there. So the planning of that, the implementation of that was a little bit ad hoc, which I think we can improve upon. And the second component, just really quickly, that request is adding is some a working lunch, a hot working lunch for all of you.
Thanks.
All right. Let me make a couple of comments. The concept was we wanted to meet on Saturday. The GNSO has always met Saturday and Sunday. We were running short of time to actually have discussions and meet people and whatever, so we wanted an extra day. To be able to sell it to the finance and budget people, we had to give it a fancy name, and we called it a strategy session. We decided operationally it was equivalent to Sunday, and that's why it wasn't scheduled and planned carefully, because it was just another working day that we could use to spread out the meetings. There is no chance we could get another working day under the new meeting strategy outside of the window. So we are not looking at increasing the window. So the real question is not is this a strategy day. That was an artificial name that was invented so we could put a title on the budget request. The question is there benefit of having a facilitator or outside people come in and work with us on the first day of the meetings? That really becomes the question. Anyone?
No, thinking about it.
Everyone's asleep. Sandra, go ahead.
Hi, it's Sandra speaking. I am in favor for external moderation because it prevents us from losing ourselves in endless discussions. I'm not quite sure if we cannot solve the strategy discussion in another way. I still believe that we could use this Sunday, which is at some point tiring, at least in the second half of the day. For me, I mean, I'm speaking from my personal experience now. Maybe we could use half of this Sunday to have a sort of a strategy discussion, which has no budget implication for bringing people in a day earlier. And we could maybe use half of the day on the Sunday for such discussion. Maybe the afternoon to get an intro in the morning, because it was always very enlightening and people are there to meet and speak and so on. But maybe use the Sunday afternoon really for why are we here? What are we doing? What are our aims? What do we want to achieve during this meeting? Who is going to speak at the public forum on which topic and what are the issues? Who is going to attend which meetings in order to mingle with the other constituencies and SOACs? Maybe we can change our own agenda a little bit towards this approach to include the strategy of ICANN in the Sunday and not adding an additional Saturday. This would be my proposal.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Sandra, we're not talking about adding an additional Saturday anymore. That's out of the it's not an option. But
for the C meeting
there is a Saturday meeting. It does start on Saturday.
Okay. Sorry then I didn't follow that too closely.
Yeah, clearly we need to think more about how we schedule meetings. The last two meetings have been, I don't even know what the word is, because the agenda was being changed as we spoke because of the CCWG and CWG meetings at the last few meetings. And there was so much time taken out of them that it became almost a completely random combination of when can we get visitors in and when were certain people on the ALAC going to actually be there. So, the planning has not been done as well for the last couple of meetings for the weekend sessions just because of the environment we're in, or maybe my incompetence as a chair. You can take whichever you like. But you know, clearly where the issue is, are there things that would benefit from having a facilitator that we want to plan 9 months out at this point? And I'm, to be honest, I'm not convinced. But that's the decision we're going to have to make in the next few weeks. So think about it. We'll talk about this more during the ALAC meeting. Heidi, back to you. Heidi. And I will point out that we are so far over schedule. This is ridiculous.
So just very quickly, we have been in contact to some degree with regional people. And right now, I know that I don't know what AFRALO is doing. Tijani, if you know, please let us know, or please let me know offline. AP Rallo, Cheryl, and Holly, I'm aware, and Maureen, I'm aware that, Maureen, you mentioned that there would be some discussions internally. I have not heard anything since then. Just keep in mind that the deadline is coming up and that there will be a call of SC the week of the 25th, and we need to have those RALO-approved requests coming in. Again, same thing with Urallo. I have not heard anything. From LACRALO, what I've just heard from Dave is that he is planning on submitting a request to, quote, fix the bugs in the translation tool of the LACRALO list. Alan, Devin and I were in discussion about that, and he wanted to get your thoughts on that. My view to him was, I don't think that this is something that should go through a fiscal year request, which would just start basically again in July. I think that if you wish to escalate this to staff, that A, that would get a lot more attention, and B, it would happen a lot quicker than any kind of fiscal year request.
I would suggest we do both.
Okay.
That is, we make the request, we escalate, and we put in a budget request. Should you ignore us for the next 6 months, then we'd like to formally have a budget request to do it.
Fine. Okay. I will pass that on. Then from NARALO, what we have is another captioning request, which actually we've asked her to do, so that's in order. And then the other item is the NARALO General Assembly for the Puerto Rico, which I will be looking at the next several days. Then one more before I hand it over to Sandra for the other course, is there is an idea from staff, and I think we broached it with the RALO leaders in Dublin, is the idea of a RALO leadership development session. We had a very small one in Dublin, just sort of late in the evening, but we think that given the success of the ALAC development session that we should suggest in the upcoming secretariat call next week a RALO development session. And I'm just wondering if there's any kind of thought on that one. And if not, then I'll hand it over to Sandra.
But before you hand it over, how many people can stay past this call? We have another 45 minutes of things to do and 12 minutes left in the call. Are people able to stay late or not? Quick show of hands, something?
Sandra can.
Thank you. All right, let's go ahead. And Sandra, it's over to you then.
Okay, thank you very much. It's Sandra speaking. The last leadership program was a real success, yes, but it turned out, and this was somehow the conclusion drawn by the community, that a lot of the ICANN processes depends on the skills a working group or an SO chair has or does not have. And the idea came up that we offer, within the framework of the Academy Working Group, that we offer a course for working group chairs to run a meeting effectively in order to get things done more effectively, to build consensus and so on and so forth. And inside learning, this group of people we are working or we are cooperating with for the leadership program, they said, yes, we can offer such a course. It needs some time, at least 2 or 3 days, and I think even this is not too much. But the idea at the table now is that we offer a course for working group chairs cross-community and cross-constituency-wise, which is not the same as the leadership program, where the socializing aspect and to get to know each other is one of the main focuses. But this course should really focus on facilitation skills and being effective, building consensus, and so on and so forth. This was, I wouldn't say it was an outcome of the last leadership training program. It was an idea, and we are spinning on this idea. We had a call last night with Heidi and other staff members, and the idea at hand is now to find out what is the temperature in the room from the community side. Is this really something they believe it's needed or not? If it's needed, then we will go for it, and I think it will take place during this, Heidi, please correct me if I'm wrong, during a C meeting next year, this year. And if it's not needed, or if there is not a good reply on yes, we want to do this, then I think we should be honest, not wasting money, and just skip it.
I thought we were talking about the B meeting.
No, Alan. I think because meeting B is so intense, and the main focus is going to be on having policy discussions versus any kind of training. And then secondly, if we wanted to have something in the transition year, then it would need to be meeting C, since that's in fiscal year 17.
Okay. Sandra, question. Are you planning to, in right now, the leadership training program added days for people who were already going to be at the meeting but provided no travel, because those were all people who were incoming leaders, so to speak, and already funded to travel if they needed funding. Working group chairs are not in that category, so I presume this would have to be a budget including travel budget.
Yes, talk about...
And presumably also for the rest of the ICANN, the whole duration of the ICANN meeting, not just for the training program period.
It's Sandra speaking. For the leadership program, I think we keep the current policy of involving those people who have secured travel funds either on their own budget or on the ICANN budget. For the working group development session, we discussed, and this is an option and this is still under discussion, but staff and myself, we could agree on this, that we set up a sort of an emergency fund, let's say something like 5,000, 10,000 euros or three people or five people or whatever, it has to be defined, that we say, okay, if there is some working group chairs who is really desired to be a participant of such a training and has no funding at hand at this specific meeting, then we have a sort of an emergency fund to or emergency budget to cover his or her travel for this specific training.
Okay. I suspect you'll need more than that, but that's just my guess. Anything else anyone has on the on Sandra's issue, or do we go, before we go on? Heidi, yes?
Yeah, just very quickly, Alan, I'm conscious of the time. Basically, right now, I have it limited to, for all groups outside the ACE, ALAC, and GNSO, one person, one working group chair. And then within the GNSO and within the ALAC, it would be two. So we're talking about a very small group. And this is a pilot as well, so things can change. Okay. But the idea is to get this approved.
Okay. I would honestly not call it working group chairs, but call it people get a name so that people who clearly need training on how to run meetings and things like that are eligible for it. I can think of, in our case, RALO chairs who need this badly. So think about it. Next item is ICANN 55 update. Gisela. There is only one issue that I want to focus on at this point, other than to raise the fact that it's something we need to work on, and that's C, the social events. But Gisela, I'll turn it over to you for all other issues.
Alan, just checking that everyone can hear me.
We can.
Wonderful. I'm then going to put something up on the screen, which I've literally finished now. I've actually even done another format, and I haven't managed to download it yet. Just give me one second. I'm going to put something up on the screen. Marika schedule. We had a call earlier on, and that was internal ICANN call for the Marrakesh schedule. And one of the points that has come up is that we have to respect the coffee breaks and the lunch breaks. Now, I've just been trying to get hold of a meeting team, and I've had confirmation that on Saturday and Sunday, it's not that important, as in we're in our room, we can work through the breaks, and we will have service during that time. However, Monday through to Thursday, we have to respect the breaks. If there's slight tweaking to do closer to the time, I will work with them on the issues. What I've put up on the Adobe Connect is the schedule that I've put so far. We don't actually have that information. We've got an internal Marrakesh schedule, which I've been using, and you'll see the meetings on the Adobe Connect room now. And what I've done is I've used the template for the new meeting strategy, Schedule A. We worked with Alan, Leon, and Heidi on this earlier this week, and I've done my best to fit things in. I haven't fitted all the RALO and working group meetings yet, but hopefully with your input today, we'll maybe make further progress. I have to get the forms in by the end of the weekend. So needless to say, I'm a little pressed for time, but let's go through it if we have a little bit of time, and I'll go as fast as possible. The first day we see here is for Saturday. Every day in Marrakesh, we'll be starting our days with the AfroALO Forum or Program for African NGOs, five NGOs that we're currently bringing in. They'll have a similar to the Dakar events, that we have the capacity building program there. We're going to have an hour in the morning. We're still working on the program with Aziz and Tijani, who are developing the program, and that is now Saturday through to Wednesday morning, and then Thursday they'll have the debrief. Saturday, we'll start with the ALT meeting from 7 to 9. I just need to get confirmation that we'll have services from 7 to 9. And then the running parallel to that is the AfroALO program. We then have our ALAC strategy session from 9:15 to 17:15. I've put a 15-minute slot in between the AfroALO forum and the ALAC strategy session just to be realistic for the turnaround and not to have our usual problem of running late and having to hurry on through the agenda. The coffee breaks are indicated in the left column. We'll end that session at 17:15 and have a 15-minute break, and then we have two working groups which we have not yet identified, ones that can run parallel. But don't worry, the schedule isn't that long, so I won't take up much time. The Sunday session again starts with the AfroALO Forum, and we're thinking of running parallel a RALO meeting, which currently would look like the AP RALO meeting. We then have a 9:15, again a 15-minute slot to allow for transition, 9:15 to 1600, the ALAC and Regional Leadership Meeting. There in the afternoon, even though we're going to be in our main room, we're going to be cutting the sessions. That means recordings and possibly interpretation changes, etc. So I have to respect the afternoon coffee break. We've got a regional meeting for an hour, and then followed by the regional meeting being a RALO meeting or a working group meeting, and then followed by the regional leadership meeting. What I've noted there is, we can perhaps just discuss this further off list, is putting the regional leadership meeting first, maybe reducing it to an hour, so that we don't lose the other regional leaders. Because if we have a RALO or working group call meeting prior to that, we might lose the other regional leaders because they won't know what to do for the hour there of dead time. We have had a request through from the CCNSO to meet on Sunday afternoon from 1700 to 1730. due to the ALEC and regional leadership meeting ending at 1600, I have asked the CCNSO if they're able to meet earlier, and they have said no, that they're not able to meet before then, and Tuesday seems pretty full as well. So that is one of the first issues to deal with, is when do we meet with the CCNSO. Monday, the only meeting we've got at this stage is the AFRALA Forum for African NGOs. We haven't scheduled any meetings, and you can see that we have some of the meetings already penciled in. The meetings that have not yet been confirmed are the TTWG meetings, but I'll get to that later. Tuesday, again, our 8-9 AFRALA slot. We have the ALAC and GAC meeting, which is suggested time by the GAC is 9:30 to 10:30. I have told the GAC that we will confirm after today's meeting if that is suitable. I'm not 100% sure of where the meeting will be held, and I'm thinking it might be in the other building, which is great because then we've got time to get to and from the meeting and it won't disturb our schedule. Again, after that, a RALO and or work group meeting, lunch, and to the afternoon. We've just had an outreach and engagement call prior to the ALT call, hence it being late, on what the outreach and engagement will be that afternoon. I'll leave that to Tijani and to Alan to speak about just as soon as I've finished. We then go on to Wednesday, which is a little bit of an issue, but I've come up with in the third column a suggested schedule. Again, starting with the AFRALA Forum, we've got the ICANN and Board and GAC meeting, which has been confirmed by the GAC staff support for 8:30 to 10. And we are trying to place the AFRALA AfricanNet meeting because that day in the afternoon. We've always had the AFRALA AfricanNet meeting from 14 to 15:30, and in the new meeting strategy, it hasn't quite appeared that way. So we're seeing how best to accommodate the request to have the AFRALA AfricanNet meeting in the afternoon. And the third column, the suggestion is to have the wrap-up part one before lunch, and then have the ALAC with board meeting from 13:30 to 14:30, which has been confirmed by board staff. And then possibly to have the ALAC wrap-up session part two, and that will be after the board meeting, so maybe some more topics for discussion. And then to end the day off with the AFRALA AFRICAN meeting. The issue there that you see in red is whether the IANA transition session will be held that afternoon. In that case, we can't have it clashing with the ALAC wrap-up session, in which case we could probably bring the AFRALA meeting to run alongside the IANA transition session, if that is something that the AFRALA team will consider. And Thursday, we end off with an ALT meeting. I've put 7 to 9 or 8 to 10. It will depend on the start time of the CCWG. Hopefully, we don't have to get you out of bed too early. And again, the debrief of the AFRALA NGOs. The other sessions that day will likely be IANA transition and public forum in the afternoon. So that is as far as the schedule goes. Any comments, suggestions, thoughts?
We have hands, Olivier.
Thanks very much, Alan. Olivier Carbonneau speaking. Yeah, thank you. Olivier speaking. Can we just freeze on this page, please? Tuesday, the 8th of March, so in the afternoon we have the ALAC outreach and engagement. The discussion which we had, the question that came up on the session we just had just before this call was whether this was going to involve all of the ALAC and the regional leaders, or was that only going to involve a subset of the ALAC? And if that was the case, if only a subset of the ALAC was or of us were involved in this, what was going to happen to everyone else?
May I answer that, Olivier?
Anybody? It's a question for everyone.
At the beginning of the meeting, Dave asked, "Is this outreach for just a selected number of people, or is it for the whole group?" And my answer was, you come up with an outreach plan, and if the outreach will make good use of the 27 or so people we have at the meeting, then we will devote the afternoon to outreach. If the outreach plan you're proposing uses three or four people, And in the case of Marrakesh, 3 or 4 French-speaking people, then we will plan other sessions for that afternoon. That was a decision that was made seconds before this meeting started. Leon Gisela and I have not had time to confer and say what to put in those slots. But at this point, as I understand the outreach plan, it will be a limited number of people doing something on Tuesday afternoon, and therefore we will schedule other things against it.
Okay, thank you.
Tijani.
Thank you. Do you hear me?
Yes.
Do you hear me?
Yes, we can.
Okay. Thank you very much. Tijani speaking. Thank you very much, Tijani speaking. I raised my hand for something, but I will, first I will answer the question of Olivier. I think that outside outreach wouldn't use the whole ELAC and the regional leadership people because of logistics also, because we are already 27 plus the attendees of the outreach people who we want to reach out for them will be, I think, an issue. So this is the first. Second point, for the efficiency, and Alan is very right when he said, come with your program and I will tell you. Because if it is only to speak to a group of people, when we are 27, it will be very difficult to speak all together or to give the floor to every one of us. It will not be an interactive session, and the people to whom we want to reach out will not have the opportunity to ask questions or to... We will use all the time speaking ourselves. This is the first point. The second point, my understanding of the meeting strategy working party was done to especially to think about meeting B and especially about the outreach. Now I am noting that Gisela says that this format of this meeting is dictated or we are obliged to follow this because it is the output of the meeting strategy working party. I thought for meeting A particularly, I don't think the working strategy, the work party for meeting strategy should do anything about it because it is almost the same meeting that the normal meetings of ICANN. This work party is there to solve the problems that come with the new strategy. And the problems come especially for meeting B. In my point of view, there is nothing in concrete, nothing in stone. We can do whatever we want, especially except for meeting B, because meeting B we have the obligation to make outreach for one day. So this is something special we have to speak about. We have to think about it, and the work party was done for that. So for this meeting, we changed all the structure of the meeting because the work strategy, the meeting strategy work party said that. I don't agree. I think that if the work party had an output, it must be discussed and in detail in an ALAC meeting, so that at the end we can say we take everything, take only this, we don't take this. Thank you.
Thank you, Tijani. Cheryl?
Sorry, Cheryl, for the record. I moved outside because I have other things to do. Sorry about the background noise. I wanted you to move back to, I think it's Sunday, where the proposed time for the CCNSO meeting with the ALAC comes in, Gisela. And I'm not at my screen, so if I'm wrong, just let me know. And I wanted to suggest to you that if at all possible, you accept that proposed time to meet with the CCNSO. I think it's a valuable meeting, and I'm sure Maureen will want to buy in on this conversation as well.
But it's a meeting that I think would be worthwhile having. And now we do have a little bit more time to play with in terms of the Tuesday afternoon. I think some of what would be done in the alternate session, which is clashing in that time, might be able to be transferred across. I just want to propose that. Thank you.
Yeah. Just for the record, Cheryl, we will schedule the meeting, and if this is the only time they can do it, we'll do it in that time. So the meeting is not at risk. It's only a discussion of when we put it and what we put again, what we put adjacent to it. Olivier.
Thanks very much, Alan. Olivier Capanoblanc speaking. And the question I have is, are there any plans at some point in an ICANN meeting, and maybe not in this one since it is a shorter meeting, an A-type meeting, any plans to meet with any of these stakeholder groups of the GNSO or even the constituencies, separate constituencies of the GNSO? But I'm speaking specifically, let's say, of the NCSG, for example.
This is the kind of time that we start reaching out to each other. If you think there's a need for a specific meeting, then you should be speaking up. Otherwise, it will not happen. We probably should have said that earlier. Given that the NCSG's position at this point is essentially the ALAC should be squished as much as possible, I'm not sure I feel real comfortable, real receptive to having a meeting with them, but maybe it's the politically correct thing to do.
Maybe a meeting with the CSG, then.
they've been inviting us to breakfast for the last year or so, and we've been saying no because it clashed with the meeting with the board. I'm presuming they were going to reach out. They haven't reached out to us yet. Gisela, as far as you know?
Correct.
Then we should check with them.
Sorry, I'm on.
Then I'll check with whoever's the Olivier, do you know who's the chair of the CSG right now?
That's a good question. I was just thinking about it a second ago. I'll come back to you.
Okay, thank you. Again, we're running really tight on time. We're already 15 minutes, so almost 15 minutes over the agenda, and we have a few other really important issues. So let's try to keep interventions brief. Cheryl, is that a new hand?
It is not. As I said,
okay.
I'm away from my computer.
Tijani, go ahead.
Thank you, Alan. Olivier, what is the need of a meeting with the NCSG? If there is an objective, yes, we can think about it. But now I don't think that there is any, in my point of view, any interest in having a meeting with them. Even if they have very good people inside. And I don't forget that Avri had a very, very good position in the CCWG regarding the power of the SOs and ACs. But at this time, I think that the majority or the lead of this group is really against us. So if there is something to say or something to do with them, yes. But if there is not, I am not in favor of this kind of meeting. Thank you.
Yeah. Just for the record, there's a new chair, and the chair is not necessarily against us. But I think this meeting is probably a good time to talk to him and plan for the for a following meeting, not just do something on an ad hoc basis. Julie.
Thanks, Alan. Yes, I just wanted to inquire what people were thinking about having a meeting with ESSAC. I always think it's good to sustain that relationship, but at the same time I recognise the time pressures and I also think it can be a bit embarrassing if not many of the ALAC members turn up and there's only sort of a small handful of people there for the briefing. So just wondering what your thinking is.
Two things. As usual, if we think we have something specific to talk about, then I would strongly support it. Just to maintain the relationship, I don't think the relationship is going to fall down if we don't meet for one meeting. In terms of ALAC and regional leaders attending, maybe we need to purchase a set of 25 sets of shackles to tie people to the chairs. That may or may not be a joke. I'm not sure. Olivier?
Alan, if you ask
yes.
me, we don't even need shackles. It's all right. I can manage to keep them there. Not a problem.
Well, whips or shackles, you can decide where we spend our money. Olivier.
Yes, thanks very much, Alan. Olivier Capranoblanc speaking. And just coming back to you on the leadership of the CSG, by the way, regarding the NCSG, I wasn't pointing specifically at the NCSG. That's a, you know, stakeholders group. There is the CSG too. I wasn't aware of the new chair. There is an interim chair at the moment, and that's Phil Corwin. And I know that there have been several changes in the CSG, and so I think it might be worth having a meeting with those people. The names that we already know, such as Steve Del Bianco being there, David Farris, Jimson Olafuyev. So, yeah.
Yeah, well,
just a suggestion.
When Tony Holmes
and of
was
course there are points which have been put forward, such as the picks, for example, and other things which...
I will reach out to whoever is the current chair and see whether we're doing anything or not. Certainly, when Tony Holmes was chair, he was pushing heavily for us to meet. Sorry, are we done? Anything else? I have one other issue to raise on the meeting.
Just one erratum. Alan, it's Olivier again. Sorry, the chair is not Phil Cohen. The chair of the commercial business users constituency is. There is no chair at the moment in the CSG. Anyway, it's all on the website.
Olivier, if I may?
Go ahead.
Sorry, apparently chair of the NCSG is Tapani Tobinen.
Yes, that's correct.
Hi.
Yeah, as I said, he's a moderately good guy. We've talked a little bit. I don't think we want to schedule a meeting without a subject. If we schedule a meeting right now, I think we're going to throw arrows at each other. The relationship at the personal level is not really good right now between many of the people in the NCSG and at large. They are within the accountability. Have targeted both the GAC and the ALAC, but certainly very, very spirited targeting of the ALAC. So I'm just not sure this is a good time to kiss and make up. I have hands by Olivier and Cheryl. Do either of you want to speak, or can we go ahead? Cheryl is outside and is not going to lower it. Olivier has lowered his hand. All right, the last item on the agenda is listed as social events. The question is, we had an ALAC pay-for-yourself dinner on the Saturday in Dublin. Do we want to do something similar this time?
Yes.
Looking for a show of hands. I think it's a moderately good idea to try to talk in a non-business environment. And we have a whole slew of hands up. If Cheryl may or may not have her hand up,
you can have that hand as a vote, yes.
Okay. Go ahead.
No, Ollie? You asked for...
Sorry, Cheryl. I'm not sure if you're talking or not. I couldn't hear what you
when
said.
When you said show of hands, we put our hands up.
Ah, a show of hands. All right. Okay. Everyone thinks we should have a Saturday event. We are having a Saturday event. Thank you all. Next agenda item. Update on the white paper on General Assembly's summits. Now, this is something that just prior to Dublin, Olivier met with a number of people and came up with the idea that said, within a few week or two, we had to put together a white paper to establish the General Assembly and summit schedule over several years, and we had to do this well before the the annual financial requests went in. Clearly, we didn't do that. So I guess between Olivier and Heidi, do we still have a window to do this at this point, or are we just going to revert to the regular FBSC requests for this coming year and in parallel try to do something on a longer term? Heidi first and then Olivier.
This is Heidi. I think that, you know, again, apologies, Olivier, for not getting back to you. I'm working my way through it. I think we still have time. I can confirm that this week with Xavier and others and then get back to you on that in time and to make sure that if we do need to submit a fiscal year request, we have time for that.
Well, at this point, given that we don't have approval from the Board Finance Committee to do a three-year plan, we have no choice but to submit the requests for the fiscal year 16 or 17. The question is, do we try to do this in parallel with that process or put this on hold and do it in the new year? That means we lose Fatty. Fatty has been one of the supporters. What his support is worth, I'm not sure. But as we go well into the calendar year 16, I think the board is going to be focused on other issues, and I think we lost our window, to be blunt. That's my guess. So the real question is, do we really have a window to do something at? Olivier, you're the one who initiated this following discussions with board members. So where do you think we stand?
Yeah, thanks very much, Alan. Olivier Capanablo speaking for the transcript. You've mentioned Fadi. Indeed, Fadi is one of the people that would be a strong supporter of this thing. I believe that as far as the board is concerned, we would probably have a majority of supporters there. The feedback that I got prior to putting this plan together was that we had to convince the community that this was a good thing. And therefore, the paper which I've drafted, and this I emphasize is just the first draft, and I would really like some feedback on this as soon as possible if we are able to send this and to move forward on this. The first draft is there. The whole idea is that this is not aimed just at the board. This is aimed at the whole community. There is a historical background of at-large face-to-face meetings so as to bring everyone on the same page and say this is not just the first time we're asking for face-to-face meetings. There is there's a list of requirements of why are face-to-face meetings important in the at-large community. And there's quite a few, I hope, a number of significant points put there. And then there's also a whole page on why a multi-year budget is better. The ALAC has been asking for a multi-year budget for many years, and it really focuses, I think, a lot on the whole idea of being able to have predictability over the budget, more proactive planning, and this goes directly in line with the ICANN plans that, and we're talking here about strategic plans of making ICANN more, not only more accountable, but also making better use of resources, et cetera, et cetera. And then finally, it's got a section explaining how to read the table, because upon first sight, most people get totally lost and have no idea what they're looking at. So there's a bit of an explanation on that. So that's the accompanying paper. I was hoping to get your feedback and Heidi's feedback prior to sending it to the Finance and Budget Subcommittee, and then to get the FBSC feedback as soon as possible. I have also sent a copy of it over to Tijani, as he is involved always with the finance and budget process, and I see that he's put his hand up, so maybe he has some feedback to put on this. But I really think that we still have time to move forward with this. If we don't, as you said, we lose that window, and then we're going to end up with another year here. We risk ending up with another year missing out on the number of General Assemblies that we need. And at that point, then we're going to have two hell of a year afterwards if we have to have three General Assemblies during that year.
Okay. Olivier, may I suggest you send it to the rest of the ALT and liaisons as well? You've already covered several people. Make sure everyone on this call will have a copy of it so they can look at it and comment. That's number one. Number two, the point I was trying to make was we are not going to get this approved before the budget request cycle. When we talked about doing it very shortly after Dublin, we hoped we could get this pushed through in lieu of making fiscal year 17 budget requests. Clearly, at this point, they have to be done in parallel. And we can cross-reference them, but there's no way we can avoid making the requests, the specific budget requests for fiscal year 17. Otherwise, we risk not having any General Assemblies in fiscal year 17.
If I may comment on this, Alan, directly on this, actually, yes, we should do these two things in parallel. The reason being that when these are being reviewed, when the budget requests, extra budget requests are being reviewed, there is always a chance that the review will be, see note number 5, and note number 5 says this will go into the main budget.
Yeah,
so,
no. They have to cross-reference. You're saying yes.
Yep.
You're agreeing.
Yep.
Okay. Tijani. Tijani, can't hear you.
Thank you very much. Do you hear?
Yes. Yes, we can.
Do you hear me?
Yes, we can.
Okay, thank you. Okay, thank you. Tijani speaking. First of all, yes, I received the copy from Olivier, and I told you I will come back to you. I didn't yet. I will do soon, I hope. Second point, I think that for this year, for 17, FY17, we submit the request for the General Assembly, since there are General Assemblies that was promised from last year, that was asked for last year, and that that wasn't accepted, but there is a promise that it will be done this year. So we will not lose this thing which is already approved. Second point, I think that we don't have to lay on or to be very FADI is very important. He can help us. That's right. But we need an approval even without FADI. Because FADI is going, and everything can change immediately after his leaving. So we need to convince, and I agree with Olivier that this white paper or this document should be addressed to everyone, to all the community, because the community will have to speak up after that. There will be a public comment about it, I think, and I suppose that in the future, we will have a lot of, opposition. I think that we have to make our documents very intelligent, that it can be accepted by the majority so that it can go. And for this year, we have to ask for the General Assembly that was postponed last year, and also we have to go ahead with these documents and present it as well, so that it will be, as you said, we can cross-reference. We can make cross-reference.
Thank you, Tijani. Any other last comments before we go to the next item? Seeing none, the next item is ALAC call timing. You will recall that now that we have people in pretty well every time zone around the world, or at least there are no big gaps, we were looking at, again, trying to have meetings at times that are rotatable. We sent out a doodle and got very varying responses. You'll see it up on the screen in a moment. We range from a number of people who said that either willingly or grudgingly they will meet any time, and they have indicated, can we blow that up just a little bit?
Or give us our own scroll,
whatever you want. Okay. Here you see, well, the obvious. The green ticks are yes, I will meet then. Orange is if necessary. And empty says, the way they filled in the doodle, they will not meet there at all. Now, clearly, under duress, some people, if the meeting is scheduled, may in fact meet then, but we don't know that. The answers ranged from people who gave the full 24 hours, as I said, down to two windows within the 24-hour period. And there were a number of people who, a few people who gave very few windows, two or six, or I can't read the numbers exactly on the chart. There were no time slots throughout the whole day that everyone said that they would attend. If we're looking at the ALAC, which is 15, plus the two liaisons who are not ALAC members, makes 17. Of those 17 people, the most we got in any time slot, that is the most green plus orange, was 15. So in every single time slot, there were ones that people said they couldn't attend. A fair number of them being the people who gave relatively few slots altogether. But they varied all over. You can look at this. We can distribute this. Well, you can download it. It's on the agenda. Out of that, it looks like we have four different slots that are viable. That is, they had 14 or 15 people willingly or grudgingly would attend, and they're scattered over the, you know, who can't attend at any given meeting is scattered over the thing, over the call, over the range of people. The times are all in UTC, 4, 12, 14, and 21. As it turns out for January, if we're going to have the meeting on the standard Tuesday, the last three slots are not available. The only one that is available is the least preferred one at 4 UTC, and that is when we're scheduling this particular meeting. This will turn the tables on people who have to get up in the middle of the night or very early in the morning, and it remains to be seen. The fact that we had no times, no hour within the 24 hours where everyone said that they could attend indicates that we are either going to push people past their comfort zone and they will attend, or we will have people missing. But we have people missing from every meeting anyway. And that's where we stand right now. So the announcement is going out, or has gone out, I'm not sure, for the meeting for this month. And then we will try to find three slots that we can rotate. That means that no matter how inconvenient the time is, it's probably not more than three times a year. And I don't think that's a lot to ask out of people. They may disagree. Tijani.
Pretty much, Alan. The next call will be at 4 o'clock a.m. It is very hard for me, but I am happy to make it, because if we rotate, it will be harmful for me once every 2 months or something like this. It doesn't matter. So I am very happy to have this this strategy of rotating the meetings, not always having them exactly at the time that is not convenient for me. Thank you.
We'll try to have it exactly at the time that's not convenient for everyone. No, and I do note that you put this one as green, so as awkward as the time is, thank you very much. I appreciate it. Unfortunately, there are enough people who have given limited time slots, either for reasons we don't understand, or in at least one case, the person is trying to avoid taking calls at home because their connectivity is so bad. And that's, you know, I can support that. It's just it's not clear that we can do that for every meeting. So we're going to try this. We'll see how it goes. And I think what we've done is kinder to people than simply arbitrarily setting the times without asking them ahead of time. And we'll see how it goes for a while. We are going to get people who are complaining. In light of Sandra's comment, people are not necessarily ruling off times because they're being difficult. People have real lives and real commitments that you know, make sometimes a lot more a lot harder than other times. We understand that. But given that there are no times that are good for everyone, we're going to have to do this. And if people miss meetings occasionally, then they'll miss meetings occasionally. That's all we can do. Next item. Yes, go ahead. Cheryl. Oh, sorry, I didn't see your hand. Go ahead.
That's all right, Alan. When you publish... Oh, sorry, I haven't got my microphone near my mouth. That's a worry. Cheryl, for the record. When you publish and make the point very clearly that these are rotating and these times will be rotating and everybody's least preferred or difficult times will only occur perhaps two, if not three times a year, that will soften the blow, but I think it's the only way to be fair and reasonable. And as you should all know, Holly and I, and indeed Maureen, have very little sympathy for people who, you know, put limited times in and don't get up in through the night. A lot of these times, I think you might find are limited because they're actually on other ICANN calls.
That is a concern. And as I pointed out, for this month, all three of the four time slots are already occupied by something.
If I'd have filled it out, it would have been a number of those times I couldn't say yes, simply because I'm already doing other calls.
Yeah. By the way, I'll point out that with the current schedule, people in Australia seem to have all of the meeting options at reasonable times. So you can say thank you to us later.
Yay!
All right. ALAC agenda, you can read it for yourself. At this point, we have four items that are going to be on the agenda that we've already talked about: FBSC, meeting times, CCWG, and Marrakesh. If anyone else has anything that they want to make sure is on the ALAC agenda, please let me or Heidi know really quickly. And with that, we go to any other business. Is there any other business?
Alan, Cheryl here.
Cheryl, go ahead.
Leon is still on the call, isn't he, or did he leave?
I don't know.
Leon is... I don't see him in the AC room, that's all.
He never was in the AC room.
Leon, are you there?
Sorry, he left. He's not speaking, sorry. Leon,
okay,
left.
Thank you. I was going to give him the right and privilege to share some information with you. I'll take that opportunity myself now. Just going back to one of your earlier agenda items, Alan, where you were talking about consumer trust and the CCWG work and my intervention that indicated we were asking the author. We have, in fact, got some feedback from NTIA now, and there will be some new language coming out to the CCW list. I won't bore you all with the CCWG language, but I will tell you, she says, scrolling back through all of this other stuff. Okay, here we go. What was in the prep of the leadership team? Someone spoke to Fiona. She will be formally responding. So there's an email going to Fiona for NTIA. And she will be formally responding, but the response will say, the DOC was addressing GTLD expansion only when it talks about consumer trust.
Okay.
If the community wants to debate ICANN's consumer trust mission, that's fine, but it should not be based on the AOC. So then there's a whole lot of other shit that's going on out of that, but I thought it would be useful for you to know that, Alan. Thank you.
Thank you very much. That makes our discussion in the ALAC a little bit easier.
Yes.
Without going into any more detail. Anything else on AOB? Hearing nothing, we are now 2 hours and 8 minutes into the 90-minute meeting, and I call the meeting to an end. Thank you all for your endurance, and we'll be seeing you around. Bye-bye.
Thanks, everybody.
Thank you.
Bye.
Thanks, all.
Thank you, everyone. Bye-bye.
Bye. Yeah, thanks, everybody. Goodbye.
Bye-bye.
Thank you, everyone. The meeting has been adjourned, and the audio will now be disconnected. Thank you for joining today's call.
My all.
All.
There are only one people in this conference. This call will be disconnected unless you press 88 now.